This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number two. This is Lock and Load. Joining me now from ShootingNewsWeekly.com is editor Dan Zimmerman. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you, sir. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you're covering this because I covered this on the Straight Talk show the other day just because I found it just... Normally, I would expect to see this kind of material coming out of a good stand-up comedy routine. But what are they doing in what are the good police of the good crime fighting legions of the Toronto Police Department? What advice are they giving the citizens of Toronto at the moment to save their lives?
It does seem like a second city TV thing. So I don't know. We'll see where the Canadians get their sense of humor. But the Toronto Police, apparently their city is experiencing a spate of home invasions where people are breaking in trying to get car keys. So they've advised the public there to reduce the risk to homeowners by just leaving your keys and your key fobs right by the door. So when criminals kick in your door, they just take one step in, see the car keys there, and then leave. Down here, south of the border, we tend to keep our car keys somewhat closer to our home defense gun because we're not going to just assume that anyone who's breaking into our homes in the middle of the night is just there for our car keys. They could be there for all kinds of terrible reasons, over and above just wanting the car. And there's all kinds of people down here as well that could steal a car without breaking into your home. The Toronto Police have come in for just a huge ration of ridicule over this, which is a wonderful thing. Up in Trudeau's stand, they have a different view of personal defense than we do down here. And between the two, I'll take the way we handle these things.
So... the thing that apparently is escaping me here is that crime never goes down, no matter how much you appease it, if you don't interrupt it. If there's not some sort of a consequence for crime, it never goes down. And all of the stuff that they're doing other than fighting crime. And listen, I know that they can't be everywhere. But this is the beauty of the gun-free zone. When your whole city is a gun-free zone and you know you can't be there, I guess the only way to keep you from being hurt is to surrender.
Yeah, Toronto isn't entirely a gun-free zone. People can own firearms in Canada. People do own firearms in Canada. Okay. But the Toronto Police don't want to acknowledge that fact, of course.
Right.
And they don't want to encourage people to use their firearms against people who've just broken into their homes at zero dark 30. They would rather have those homeowners enable the crime and hope that the thieves run away or actually drive away with the victim's cars than have to go out and clean up a dead body after a homeowner shoots the home invader to death. I don't think we've gotten quite to the point where we are in the UK where anybody who dares to defend themselves with a gun or a knife or pretty much anything in their own home then gets arrested and prosecuted as well. I think Toronto or Canada generally has better self-defense laws than that, but the Toronto police don't seem to want to talk about any of that.
Right. I don't know. What would happen in Toronto if somebody? I mean, they're basically saying we should go start a business in Toronto. You and I, we could sell these stakes that you drive them into the ground, and they have a little spotlight that shines right on the end of the hook on the stake, and you can hang your keys there. Out front of your houses, and with little signs saying "No need to come in. Here's the keys. Happy motoring."
Right. Don't kick my door in. I don't have to fix my door. Just pick up the keys, take the car, and be gone. No problem. That's in effect what the Toronto police are advising.
Yeah.
So
what would happen? What would happen if one of these Toronto citizens ventilated one of these guys trying to break into their home? What happens then?
I don't know what the prosecutors are like in Toronto, but I would hope it would be judged a reasonable use of force against someone who's just invaded your home in just a case of armed self-defense. But I'm not familiar enough with Canadian.
Well, you did. You
Canadian laws, or
you called it Trudeau stance. I mean, you sort of have an inkling of what it probably. I mean, in England, if you break in and you shoot somebody with your licensed shotgun, you're in a whole heap of trouble.
You're going to jail.
Yeah. So, you know, some things you just can't escape from, and I fail to believe that Canada, given what they've got going on right now, that they would be any better than England.
Again, I don't know the laws up there enough. Don't really care.
Right.
I hope that Canadians who own firearms are able to use them in justifiable self-defense situations. But I just suggest that they know their laws and up there and abide by them and don't keep their keys right by the door. If you have a good way of defending yourself, just in case somebody chooses to break in the middle of the night.
I would imagine, though, that this is sort of a encapsulation for what we could look at, say, in California or New York. Although, I don't know if you I haven't looked, because I've been so captured by this whole thing that with Canada that I haven't looked too hard at what happened. But in New York, apparently the other day there was a shooting in a subway that they ruled self-defense.
Yeah, there was. It was apparently a situation where somebody, there was an argument, there was a scuffle, somebody pulled a gun, and the person who the gun was being pointed at took the gun away and shot the attacker, which is why they put it ruled self-defense.
Right.
But, of course, this is a New York City subway system where we now have National Guardsmen patrolling, and everything is supposed to be safe, and everything is supposed to be wonderful. So I'm not sure how this happened at all.
It's one of those things. It's just one of those crazy, crazy things that you sit back and like, I don't know how to figure this one. And
yeah.
I don't. I don't know how to figure that one, because even with that, I mean, unarmed self-defense is not legal. But if you take the gun from the bad guy, I guess armed self-defense is legal. It's very hard for me to make heads or tails of it. Anyway, we're headed to the first break. Shooting News Weekly. Shooting News Weekly is coming up on its 2.5 months. 2.5 months has been 10 weeks. 10 weeks it's been in existence. Already it is moving into a must go-to destination if you're looking for things on the right to self-defense, on what's the latest in the gun world, what's the latest in the gun culture. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. We'll be right back.
Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Operate. At Staccato, we know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in the gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
And welcome back. This is Lock and Load. We're talking to Dan Zimmerman from the ShootingNewsWeekly.com, and what we do is we go through this stuff, and this is all ripped straight from the pages, in most cases, from Shooting News Weekly. And here we come to this one. NYPD doesn't want to disclose how many gun permits they've issued. So we don't have any idea at all.
It's very strange. The big news is that since Bruin, the number of people who have applied for gun ownership permits and carry permits has exploded, pretty much as you'd expect. They went from in 2019, 258 people applied for carry permits in New York.
Right.
I can't even imagine that. I'm surprised that many people applied for it. But I'm guessing these are all rich and connected people who had fixers who could get that kind of thing done for them. Last year, 6,751 people applied for carry permits in New York. The problem is, what the NYPD isn't telling us is how many licenses for gun ownership and for carry permits they've actually granted. And that's probably due to the fact that they aren't granting very many. In fact, it's gotten to the point where they're now facing a class action lawsuit because of how long it's taking them to review and approve applications. So anti-gun jurisdictions have all kinds of ways of discouraging carrying firearms legally. One of them, of course, is Bruin response bills, where they legislate huge swaths of an area to be off limits, just as New York has done, and that they're being something challenged on that front too. You know, they say that every private property is a gun-free zone unless the owner puts a sign on the front door saying guns are specifically allowed there. You know, all of Times Square is now a gun-free zone. They're making it, if you do have a legal carry permit in New York, it's virtually impossible to do that and comply with the law. But the other way that they discourage carry is to take forever to actually process your application and issue a permit. Now that they have to, they no longer have the discretion to say, well, no, we don't think you're a good candidate for concealed carry. May issue is no longer a thing. We now have shall issue, thanks to Bruin. But Bruin didn't specify how long a police department or whoever issues permits in your location can take to do that, or how much they can charge. We've got cities in California that charge well over $1,000 to issue a concealed carry permit. Those are being challenged in court as well.
Do they still have, you know, back in the day with New York, they had these guys they called the expediters, the ones that knew how to maneuver.
Right.
The very stuff. And then they had that gigantic scandal where some people were selling permits and they got all swept up. And I don't know what happened after that, but then the Bruin case seemed to come along right behind that and just sort of sweep all of that away. Does New York still have all of these departments built in just to handle this kind of stuff?
Well, those people were sort of outside the system and new people. And, you know, if you paid them enough, I'm sure they greased the right palms and got things done. I'm sure a lot of that went away now that it's shall issue instead of may issue. But maybe those people are still in business trying to get things moved to the top of the pile and get permits issued much more quickly for those people who are willing to pay for the privilege.
Now,
I don't know that for a fact. I just suspect it.
Well, I'm pretty sure. I'm almost certain that anything they didn't have to change, they didn't change. I'm pretty sure.
No, I'm sure.
I'd be pretty close on that one, I'm sure. But
exactly. There's a whole economy of people who did that.
Right. Now, I know that nationwide crime is down right now this year compared to what it was last year. I know crime is down. Looking at New York, where there are 160,000 illegal migrants that are there now, even though they're getting their five-figure debit cards per month, is crime still on the upswing in New York?
I believe overall crime is down. I think certain classes of violent crime is up. I haven't looked at that number in a couple of months, so I'm not 100% sure. I can't remember what the 2023 totals were. Generally, crime is down. However, I don't think the average New Yorker feels like crime is down. I don't think they feel safer. Why else would the governor have gone to the trouble and have taken the PR hit of posting National Guardsmen and state troopers carrying AR-15s, at least at the beginning, in New York City subways?
Now,
the crime down there was horrific and getting worse. The people were getting killed. People were getting pushed onto the track. People were getting shot. So the governor obviously felt that she had to do something. And then last week, of course, we had yet another shooting.
One question, and I've seen that. I've seen that where they're publishing that, and I've seen it in the news. Does the New York National Guard issue AR-15s or M-16s and M-4s?
It was some AR platform rifles. I saw the photos of the troopers carrying them down there before the governor caught hell for that and ordered them not to carry long guns anymore. I assume they're then just carrying sidearms. So they're carrying some form of AR when they're on
patrol. They're not carrying a M platform.
I don't know that. To me, they look like M4s.
Well, I'm, even the National Guard actually carries the true military variant of the rifle. So I was just wondering about that. I've seen that too, and I'm like, what are they doing issuing them AR-15s when they're in the National Guard?
So yeah,
that,
exactly.
That's a very minor point. It's a very minor detail, but it's
my guess is they're real M4s.
Yeah. Well, I mean, looking at New York and then looking back at Toronto, the real problem here is that they don't, even if they, before they defunded the police, before the police became targets and before the police became demonized and vilified and all these other things, they didn't have enough. I mean, what, 25,000 cops in a city of 9 million people?
Well, they had a lot more than 25,000.
What did they have? I don't know.
I think about 150,000
cops.
I think that's correct.
Even at that number, that's still not enough.
No, exactly.
So the NYPD right now currently has 36,000 officers and 19,000 civilian employees.
Okay, all right, that was way overestimating it. But yeah, I thought 25 was too low. All right, so 36,000.
Hang on, we'll get on. We'll finish this on the other side. Be right back talking to Dan Zimmerman. This is Lock and Load.
Garand Tactical Innovations is the ultimate one-stop shop for all your competition, law enforcement, and military needs. Home of the Weapons of Wit. Now featuring the new Pit Viper. Terran is the one who trained the one, and he is Hollywood's go-to for taking the weapons and training to the next level. His legacy of championship wins, spanning across decades, is due to his uncompromising dedication to perfection. These innovations are now offered to you at TerranTactical.com.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
USA News Update. The White House confirmed that President Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had a discussion Monday. They covered recent developments in the Israel-Hamas conflict, particularly focusing on the situation in Rafah and efforts to enhance aid to Gaza. The Supreme Court seems doubtful about restricting the government's communication with social media platforms. Justice Samuel Alito.
It's treating Facebook and these other platforms like their subordinates.
Arguments heard Monday questioned whether the Biden administration's efforts to combat misinformation on these platforms infringed upon the First Amendment. The father of the late Georgia nursing student Lakin Riley expressed his frustration that her death is being exploited for political purposes. During an appearance on the Today Show, Jason Riley emphasized that his daughter should be honored for who she was as a person. Lakin Riley was reportedly murdered by an undocumented immigrant on the University of Georgia's campus. John Schaefer, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes, too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load, talking to Dan Zimmerman from ShootingNewsWeekly.com. And I'm not actually, I'm able to look this stuff up for anybody's like, oh, well, how did Bill know that? Well, I looked it up while we're having the conversation. So just so everybody.
I Googled it too.
Yeah. So 8.5 million people policed by 36,000. That's a real bad ratio for actually, they're not stopping anything, are they? They're just showing up later, right?
No, it's pretty tough to be everywhere you need to be. And of course, in no jurisdiction can you do that. If they had 10 times that, they still couldn't be everywhere. Cops just can't be. It's just the nature of the beast. So, there's a reason we've got the saying, you know, when seconds count, they're minutes away. And that's when you're lucky. And the 36,000, I assume, was after, you know, what was it, 6 years ago? Oh, no, I'm sorry, it was
it does not
3 years
tell
ago.
Me what it was. We know that in 2023, 2,931 officers quit. In 2022, 3,701 quit. So in just, in just 2 years, they lost like literally 7,000 police officers. And you would imagine these are the 7,000 that could get some form of their pension.
Right.
Is why they quit. So, that means the experienced guys are gone.
Or got jobs in the nearby suburbs.
Yeah.
In 2020, of course, Bill de Blasio cut the NYPD budget by 11%. And that's when the slide started in the whole post-George Floyd attack on policing nationwide. I don't know how many vacancies they have. I know here in Austin, the Austin Police Department has about 500 vacancies, and that's out of a police force of maybe 2,000, 2,500, something like that. It's very small. So it's it's a very significant number that they're down on. We're not unusual either. This is the case everywhere. It's hard to get people to go into policing after years, literally years of attacking law enforcement. And the idea of arresting people who commit crimes, and then even when police do arrest them, they then wind up back on the street, sometimes the same day, if not the next day. People wonder, well, why should I do this? Why should I risk my life? Why should I get into this line of work when there are things, other things I can do? We're reaping the benefits of that.
Currently, nationwide, there is supposedly 708,000 full-time law enforcement officers employed in the United States, federal, state, and local, of which, of the three biggest employers, you're talking the Border Patrol, FBI, and then NYPD.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's down from 920,000 a few back in the 20-teens. So
right.
They lost 220,000. So they basically lost a lot of cops. So yeah, back to the point though that I'm trying to make here. In Toronto, like we talked about earlier, and in New York City, right here, these citizens are basically consigned, or have to be consigned, to the idea if they're going to abide by the law, they have to surrender. They have to be prepared to be a victim, one way and in whatever shape or form it takes itself. They don't even get to to address that part of it. But whatever presents itself, they just got to go with it.
We're correct. Exactly.
What kind of way is that to live?
I don't know. And it's going to be interesting, too, to find out what happens to somebody like Daniel Penny. He's the guy, he's the ex-Marine who was on a subway in New York, and somebody was attacking somebody else, and he grabbed him from behind and held him, and I think he put a chokehold on him, and the guy died, and he's being prosecuted. Meanwhile, you've got this situation last week where the victim disarmed the attacker and shot the attacker.
Right.
That guy was let off the hook. Daniel Penny's got to be wondering, what did I do wrong? I was protecting somebody. I was stopping a crime. It went bad, yes, but there was no way did he intend to kill anybody. He was trying to protect the person who was being victimized.
Right. So. Yeah. it's a very interesting, and this is all happening in New York, in New York City. All of this is happening in New York City, all at the same time, in the same time plane. That's the crazy part of it. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, we have elected officials, and we have a criminal justice system that is no longer interested in holding people accountable for crime. They somehow see that as iniquitous and slanted, and in some cases racist, to actually prosecute people and put them in jail. So decarceration is the policy, and the result is increased crime. Now, they may say crime is going down, but a lot of people question how much crime is being reported. How many of the people who are arrested and then let go, are those even reported as crimes? So who knows what even goes into those numbers showing the lower crime rates in places like Chicago and New York. There's just a lot of variables involved.
Right. I look at this stuff and I just shake my head. And then, and this is a thing I don't quite understand. And on the same level, as I sit there, now I begin to, some things begin to take shape. I'm sitting here and I'm asking myself, how is it that with South Carolina, we went for nearly a decade debating whether or not we should have permitless carry? And yet, At the same time, we have all of these other states that don't have it, that don't have any sort of carry, really, truly. And their crime is through the roof. But the lawmakers here seem to listen to the same problematic things that they listen to in New York.
It happens everywhere. You get the same voices preaching the same agitprop about what's going to happen. You know, oh my God, people don't need a license to carry a gun. It never comes to pass. Look, we've seen it in Ohio. We heard exactly the same thing in Ohio. Ohio passed it, and then crime went down last year. None of the doomsayers, prognostication, came true. I know that's going to shock you. It certainly shocks me. I could barely sleep at night, wondering what happened. We're supposed to be ankle deep in blood. We're supposed to have shootouts and grocery aisles over the last can of corn, but it doesn't happen. It never happens. Doesn't happen in any of the not quite 29 states yet. It's all lies. It's all propaganda. It's all designed to scare people. Wherever legislators have the cojones to overlook it and pass constitutional carry anyway, everybody's just fine. Nothing really changes. In fact, crime frequently does actually go down.
Hang on for me, if you will. All of this ripped from the page, front page of ShootingNewsWeekly.com. This is where Dan plies his trade on a daily basis. This is the place that has all of the latest stuff in the gun industry, in the gun culture for you, waiting for you. It is a must-go-to destination if you're trying to keep up with this stuff, as I do. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load, talking to Dan Zimmerman from thetruthaboutguns.com. And, we're going to talk about Israeli carry. Now, a lot of people, especially in these new states where permitless carry is out there, they've never thought of carrying a gun, and they're going to hear from everybody out there. And the whole no round in the chamber thing, that's often preached as a really safe way to carry a gun, isn't it?
It is. This is a long-running debate among the concealed carry, the people, the community of people who carry firearms. And a lot of people do carry this way. And just for your listeners who aren't familiar, what we're talking about here is carrying a gun without a round in the chamber. So, in a semi-automatic pistol, you put your magazine in, but you don't rack the slide, and there's no round in the chamber. So you pull the trigger, nothing happens. If you need your gun, you have to draw it from your holster, rack the slide, and then your gun is ready to shoot. So it takes extra time. That doesn't seem like it takes much time. That doesn't seem very hard. You easily be able to do that. In practice, though, that isn't always the case. And this is known as, by many, as Israeli carry, because I believe the Israeli military suggests or mandate maybe even that their troops who carry a sidearm carry that way for safety's sake. And that's the reason a lot of people who carry guns in this country do it. They're worried about a negligent discharge. They're worried about their gun just going off, even though that virtually never happens. And they just feel much more comfortable carrying a gun that way. Well, an excellent example of what can happen when you Israeli carry happened in where? Israel. This week, and it all happened on camera. If you go to the post at Shooting News Weekly, we've got video of it there. And this looks like a small, I don't know, a sandwich shop or a bakery or a falafel stand or something like that. Something like that. A bunch of people standing in line, ready to put their orders in, and an Israeli army officer or soldier is at the front of the line, and somebody at the back of the line sneaks up on him from behind and grabs him around the neck, and they start to wrestle. The soldier, fortunately, got help from somebody else in line.
Right.
Who jumped on the attacker. Meanwhile, the soldier gets up, draws his gun, and then you watch him try to rack the slide on his pistol. He was obviously carrying without a round in the chamber. I timed it, and it took him 8 seconds. He was fumbling constantly with this thing. You couldn't rack it. It should take you less than a second to rack it. But what happens? You're under pressure. You've got a huge adrenaline dump. All your fine motor skills go away. And when the, again, when the person who was wrestling with the attacker on the ground let him up, the attacker then went at the soldier, who finally, by then, had managed to chamber around, and he shot him. The lesson here, of course, is Israeli carry may make you feel a lot safer while you're walking around, knowing that there's no chamber around in your chamber, but it can be very deadly. It can result in, it can get you killed if you find yourself in a situation where you're being attacked. Because think about it. You won't always have two hands free.
No.
If this guy had been attacked on the street or someplace where he didn't have help, where there wasn't somebody else to jump on the attacker, at least one of his hands would have been, I'm sure, occupied trying to fend off the attacker while he drew his gun. Well, how is he gonna rack that slide? Some people practice racking, you know, against your belt or something, using your sight to rack your slide.
Would you call that fine motor function when you're trying to do that? Is that fine?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's no easier. There's just so many arguments, good arguments against Israeli carry that people have made over the years, and it's wonderful to see it in action here.
Do you know why they started that? Do you know the whole reason behind it?
I'm guessing their military is a whole lot like ours, and they don't trust their own soldiers
to
be safe with guns.
So when Israel was founded, and after World War II, every Israeli that was coming there had a bunch of old junk guns. They would get whatever gun they could get because they were scared for their survival, and they all had a bunch of guns. And the majority of the guns that they had were really bad as far as their serviceability. So the only way for them to peacefully be able to carry these kinds of things would be on an open chamber, and that was when they were revolvers, right? A lot of them were revolvers. There was a few semi-automatics built into that back then. Nothing like it is today. Today, the only way for a semi-automatic striker-fired gun to go off, as far as I'm aware, and I carry Glocks, would be for me to pull the trigger. I can load it and rack one into the chamber and throw it against the wall, drop it from high altitude, whatever it is. It's not going to go off. I think I might be able to make it go off if I dragged it behind the car over a rocky road. Yeah.
Guns are so safe these days.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen. Guns do not just
They become people-proof.
Virtually.
I mean, if you put your finger in there and pull the trigger, yes, it's going to go off. If it has a round in there, it is going to discharge. But as far as the accidental discharge, that all predates, for the most part, the modern IDF. But the thing is, you know, the IDF got out there and did all kinds of great. I mean, they took like the Browning and refurbished the Browning into a really effective weapon. They've messed with the Glock a little bit. They've got M4s that they have, older M4s that they have refurbished and turned into really, they're quite ingenious with this kind of stuff about making them functional. And yet, they still want to do this whole, they've got a whole technique too, right? You bring it up and press it to the middle of your face and grab the chamber, and as you push the gun out, you just hang on to the slide and let it slingshot itself out, and then you stick it out there and grab it with both hands. And that works great as long as nobody's got you from behind and trying to stab you or choke you out.
Yeah, and as long as you've got both hands available.
Yeah.
And I really recommend that your listeners watch. Go to our site and watch this video.
Because
it's really instructive.
It is. It's a video lesson. Israeli carry can get you killed. Carrie's in there twice, but I mean, It's a good point. It's a good point because, that dude was a determined attacker, wasn't he?
He was.
He wasn't going to be held down by nobody. Apparently, he had something in his hands when he was getting up because everybody scattered at that point.
I guess he had a knife. I'm not sure why he didn't use the knife when he snuck up on the soldier to begin with. But fortunately, the soldier didn't. I don't know what he, maybe he was trying to reach around and cut his throat, and maybe the soldier blocked that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know the details. All I know is the instructive part here is watching this guy try to rack his gun and how long it took. 8 seconds. 8 seconds from the time he got up.
That's a long
off
time.
Off the ground, got
That's
away from
a long time.
Yeah, exactly. And again, the only reason he was able to do that was because there was somebody else there that was struggling and fighting with the attacker. While he did that, he was very, very fortunate.
Indeed. Indeed he was, sir. For all of you, I mean, this is on the front page at shootingnewsweekly.com. That I had not seen. I had not seen that article, and that's why, you know, you go and you go to a website like this, and you go look at Dan's stuff that he compiles, and this is why you do these things, because you want to know. And wanting to know, if you want to know, you're going to have to find it there, because nobody else, I have not seen that covered anywhere else. So, that's a really good object lesson to take, as far as all that goes. We got about 10 seconds left. I'm going to presume that this is not the thing about this is a new site, is that I'm presuming this is not the way it actually ends up looking. Am I right about that?
We're tweaking things as we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gradually changing.
Anyhow, thank you for joining me today, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. Hour number 3 is inbound. See where we go from there. This is Lock and Load. At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.